Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff we happen to think about. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I am your host, Alex, and I'm joined by my co-host, Austin. Hey, Austin.
I have the disk space remaining for 199 hours and 34 minutes, so that's how much more we can record.
Only 199 more hours of Pokemon.
Oh, man.
And then the world explodes.
Well, at this rate, probably, but moving forward.
We may not make it 199 hours, but anyway, let's enjoy what we got. How are you?
I am chomping at the bit to read out this listener feedback we got.
Oh my god, we have so much listener feedback.
That's because we haven't read it in like forever episodes.
I know, we had some other stuff going on, but now back to our regularly scheduled programming. Lay it on me, what's our listeners saying to us?
Starting with Advanced Episode 2, Pokemon Megastar says, Flint and Lola don't deserve their children. Oh my
god. I mean, hard agree.
If Brock didn't come home to that gym, Nurse Joy would have shut the gym down. It makes sense he would leave, but I wish he took Geodude with him. On a slightly unrelated note, I love the music in Hoenn. Ash vs. Norman with a gym theme remix was great, but the Elite Four theme is the best. Max is going to be interesting to watch. I don't remember liking him, but I like him here, especially his dynamic with May. Can't wait for more.
I also agree. I love the music. Hoenn has some great music.
Most of which the dub cuts out.
Yeah, which sucks, but who isn't a fan of all those horns?
All right, on to episode 3. Let's do Pokemon Megastar again, because they say, I can't wait to see more from Misty. I know she appears more in Chronicles, and I hope it continues to be this good. The Pokemon reactions were my favorite part of this episode. Pikachu versus Taylor was quite good, too. I agree that Ash's Hoenn outfit might be peak Ash look, but I like his look from The Power of Us. Ooh, that's a good point. We didn't even consider those outfits.
No, I don't think we talked about that.
Well, that's another Ash. We'll talk about that in season 20. 21.
Okay.
You brought up something I have thought before, of Brock not traveling with Ash. I'm curious, if you had someone else from Hoenn travel with Ash instead of Brock, who would you choose?
Who from Hoenn?
I guess it'd have to be, yeah.
Oh my god, Harley. Sorry.
No.
No, that was my joke answer.
I think the only answer is Roxanne.
You mean for like a mainstay twerp? Well, what's wrong with Drew?
Because Drew's a rival, not a twerp. He's not someone who's there for every episode.
Wouldn't it be interesting, though, to have a dynamic where there was a rival that was constantly there?
No, because that means we need to watch them win 10 contests total.
Okay, fudge. I'm trying to think then. I guess it would have to be like Roxanne, right?
Because Roxanne.
Okay, Sting.
Okay, sorry.
No, I what about like, okay, I'm trying to think of the other younger people. Tate and Liza?
Then we'd have two pairs of siblings.
Well, I'm assuming we wouldn't have, like...
Max siblings sacrificed for the Tate and Liza.
Yeah. Who else is young?
How old is Brawly supposed to be?
He's, like, an adult.
He's, like, an adult man.
Why? Okay, is it only gym leaders that we're pulling from?
No, it could be someone else.
Do you have any ideas? Because I don't...
I'm not going to make up my own character.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine, like, Juan or Wallace or somebody traveling with them?
I don't think any adults are going to be joining the crew.
No, of course not.
And if they were, it'd be Professor Birch. Just because that's who I would want to see the most. Anyway.
Poor Birch. He would go crazy. I'm trying to think of who else is there. There's not even, like, any other options. That's about it.
Brendan?
Flannery? No. Oh, Brendan.
God,
that's such a good question. Oh, no.
We don't have an answer. I'm going to go with Roxanne.
Roxanne.
But if they have to have three boys, I'm going to go with Brawly, but an aged down Brawly.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's with a stupid hair.
You think Brawly has stupid hair?
Have you seen Brawly recently?
I'm looking at him right now. What's wrong with his hair?
It's stupid.
I mean, he's got like anime hair, but what else can you do?
That's true.
Huh. I don't have a good answer. I'm sorry. I think I want to say, like, a rival, like Drew, but then, like, that wouldn't really work because then the focus would be contest.
Oh, I know who. I know who. I don't. We forgot someone.
Who?
Wally.
What? How do we forget Wally? Oh my god, we're so dumb.
He's not in the anime.
You're right. Okay. It'd be Wally. I'm cheating.
Yeah. Well, if anything, Wally should replace Max. No, I guess not necessarily.
Well, Max isn't really, like, timid. Wally's, like, really timid and stuff, but I don't know. May kind of has that timidness, too, for the moment. Okay, so if Wally was, like, a twerp, would he have his health issues?
Yes, and he'd be a hypochondriac as well.
Oh, my God.
And he would make sure everyone in the Pokemon and all the twerps stay very healthy, and he would make all their food, and he would be the first aid guy.
Oh my god, that's so cute, though. Oh, it should have been Wally for sure.
That's my official answer.
Okay, can I cheat off of you?
Of course.
And have that be my official answer?
Yeah.
Okay, Wally. Good job, Austin. I forgot about him. I am so sorry.
Why did he never appear in the anime? It's so weird.
Why does the anime do a lot of things or not do a
good point.
Things? I don't know.
Keeping on episode 3, this is from Ben. I just listened to your 3rd advanced episode. At the risk of tooting Austin's horn, I would really like the episode of Misty admiring a surf skit. It'd be a nice, clear morality tale about not being prejudiced. To add to that point, surf skit is the only bug water type that loses its water typing when it evolves. Yeah, that's an interesting point.
Oh, that is a good point.
Also, you don't have to worry about tooting Austin's horn. You can always toot my horn.
Oh my god. Be careful out there. If you say too many nice things, Austin will get a giant inflated ego.
Too late.
Oh no, we've created a monster.
Okay, Ben continues. I also second what Alex said about the Let's Go Johto games.
Woohoo!
Game Freak and TPCI do listen to the fans, but what is the best place for adult Westerners to give input to a Japanese video game company that would take years to come out if production started today?
I mean, honestly, I think if they're listening to any of the fan base, it's going to be the Japanese fan base, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think they are aware and cognizant of, like, the larger global fan base, but considering the fact that, obviously, that's their country, it's their, you know, countrymen, like, they're the ones that are getting the exclusive things, they're the ones that probably have the most immediate feedback on stuff, so I'd be interested to know what the breakdown is. What is the, like, demographic overall in, like, different countries of, like, Pokemon fans? Like, do you think it's more younger people in certain countries that like Pokemon or, like, older people in other countries that like Pokemon? Like, I wonder what the breakdown is.
Okay, this is just pure speculation on my part, as I often do. I have to imagine in some markets it's more adult-oriented because it's more of a nostalgia thing, whereas in other markets it's probably more even or more child-centric.
Hmm.
Also, we can't forget the majority of merchandise sales come from toys and binders and pencils and things you wouldn't even consider that children.
Yeah, well, that too. And then, like, the TCG and stuff. I'm always curious to know, like, what the breakdown is. Like, do you think with the games, like, let's just consider the mainline Pokemon games for right now.
Oh.
Do you think that there's more adult fans of those games right at this current moment? Or do you think it's more children?
I do not know the answer to that.
It's just a thought. I'm not, like, seriously asking, I guess. But I wonder what the breakdown is because it's like, okay, of course they're going to continue to make Pokemon games for a general audience, you know, young people in mind. But, I mean, Pokemon's been around for decades. Like, it's interesting.
So Ben continues to explain the definition of the word Joe Toddler, which we were very confused by.
What? I forgot. Remember
this? Ben is a self-described Joe Toddler, and we were like, what is that?
Oh, as a small child in, like, playing Johto.
That's what we speculated. But Ben
is
says,
that wrong?
Ben thinks it started as a pejorative term for a fan of Gold Silver, Heart Gold Soul Silver, analogous to Gen 1-er.
Oh, wow.
I've never heard Joe Toddler before. That's a new one on me.
I've never heard that either, but are we old? Yes, we are.
Yeah, I wonder what the other generation, like Ho and Ho, that no.
No.
Okay, Ben continues. He reappropriates Joe Toddler as a self-identifier. Johto seems to have the classic second child syndrome, like the second son of that family on Bridgerton. I haven't seen Bridgerton. I can't comment on that.
I don't know any of, like, more recent Bridgerton. I did watch the first season, but I've largely forgotten it.
Did you get this reference? The second son of the family in Bridgerton? Does that make sense to you?
No, but like, is it second son syndrome in general, where it's like the second son is always going to be
Prince Harry?
It's the heir and the spare. Like, I mean, I don't know.
All right, let's move on to episode Advanced 4.
Okay.
Pokemon Megastar says, it makes sense Team Rocket would vote on Mudkip because they heard that you like Mudkips.
LOL.
That might be a future episode title. We'll find out.
I think we should fit it in somewhere. I mean, it's just too prevalent.
They should fit it in, or we should fit it in? Because that didn't happen. Yeah, we should fit it in. We'll see what happens. Anyway, my MVP and LVP for the first ep is the welcome robots for how cute they are and for being destroyed.
I know, it's so sad.
My MVP for the second ep is the Elite Four battle theme. It plays this episode during the Team Rocket attack, and it's my favorite song. My LVP has to be the twerps for having to deal with the Knickerbocker. Thanks as always for the great episode, Ryan Pan team. Have a good day. You have a good day too, Pokemon Megastar.
Thanks. Oh my god, that's so sweet. We appreciate it.
Final one is from Ben for the same episode. So Giovanni's wearing a ring with an emerald in 2003. Hashtag enhanced Hoenn game confirmed.
Oh my god, the emerald. Yeah.
Although I will say, I looked back at some old pictures of Giovanni from earlier seasons. He always had the mob boss rings going on. I just never noticed.
Really? Oh my god. No, that means I'm a bad Giovanni stan because I didn't realize that either.
Well, I see that orange suit and I'm like, I gotta look away. I can't, my eyes can't handle this much orange. I can't look
avert
at the screen.
Your eyes. Yeah. Maybe they always had him wear an emerald and it was always the plan.
Ah.
You know what? Okay, total sidetrack moment. But don't you love when you see the like quote unquote leaks? Where Pokemon does patents for different like things.
Oh yeah,
and it's like some crazy pair, and you're like, oh my god, Pokemon what? Oh my god, like all the stuff that never came to fruition. I just love it.
Gotta cover your bases,
I suppose.
Ben continues. Is there anywhere that you can buy or rent the Pokemon Chronicles episodes online? As far as I know, no, not in the U.S. I don't know. I just don't know. I think they were only released on cable and maybe on like Toonami Jetstream or some shit.
Oh my god, Toonami Jetstream.
Did you watch that back in the day?
Probably. God, I just, the nostalgia.
So, sorry, everybody. I can't help you. You gotta do your own research. Not like that. You know what I mean. Okay. Ben's curious to hear comprehensive thoughts on Chronicles once we're finished with it. Okay.
Awesome. That
will happen.
I'll look forward to that.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that, and I'm looking forward to it because there's a lot I don't remember about Hoenn, so I'm eager to get through and see what we think at the end. Stick with us because it'll be fun.
So that's it for feedback. Alex, how's your week?
It was all right. I think we need to talk about the big thing.
What would that be?
The big thing that we did, that we said we were going to report back on.
Oh yeah, I got engaged.
Oh my god.
To Giovanni.
And just kidding. I cried my eyes out and was so depressed.
Not happening.
No, the big news was a few weeks back, we talked about the local Pokemon mini convention that was nearby us, and we did not do like we did with the Barbie and not go. We actually did attend the Pokemon mini con. Overall, it was fun. I enjoyed it. But we got to see some really fun cosplay. They had a little cosplay competition that was super cute. People are so creative. There's really no limits, and it's always really awesome to see the work that people put into their craft.
But Alex's idea was we should have been wearing Out of the Drying Pan t-shirts.
If we had Out of
the Drying Pan t-shirts. We gotta make some of that. We gotta do something like that.
We need some merch. Although I will say, my favorite cosplay of the day was, shout out to the guy that was dressed as Brock, who brought a frying pan as an accessory.
Of course. Amazing.
We had to say something. So it was really fun. They had a lot of cool Pokemon merchandise. We did make some purchases while we were there.
I made one out of support for you.
Yeah, okay. So it was really me, and I didn't go crazy, but one thing that I did buy was a Snorlax Pokeball, which was super cute, and Austin was kind enough to also buy a Pokeball in solidarity, so I didn't feel bad about spending money. But here's the news that nobody asked for, but I'm going to just say it anyway because I'm so excited. A couple weeks back, we were discussing White Whale video games, and one of the things I brought up was Barbie Horse Adventure, and I was like, oh, there's no way these conventions aren't going to have games like that. Oh, that's impossible. Whatever.
Guess what we found?
Guess what we found, everyone? Barbie Horse Adventure. Are you shocked? I'm shocked.
I think they figured it out from that intro.
I think they did. I know this is not Pokemon related at all, but I just had to say it because I was so tickled. I can't believe it. We went to one booth. I was just thumbing through the old PlayStation 2 games and wasn't expecting to find anything. And wouldn't you know it, right there in the back was an almost pretty good condition Barbie Horse Adventure, Wild Horse Rescue. And I was over the moon. And Austin was like, oh my God, I can't believe you found it.
So, I was very happy for you.
Thank you. And it was actually a reasonable price because I did check it against like different eBay and all that. And it was actually decent. So I picked it up, of course. And now one part of my reclaiming old video games that I stupidly sold off is complete. So
that means I'm going to have to start buying my Sonic the Hedgehog archives, digest graphic novels from Archie.
And spending thousands of dollars?
Maybe for our spinoff podcast, Out of the Mobius Strip. A Sonic the Hedgehog Archie Comics podcast.
Oh my God, out of the chili dog.
Ooh, maybe. We'll think about it. Out of the loop-de-loop. I don't know. We're not Sonic aficionados, so I don't know
where we're not. But yeah, so that was really fun and exciting. Anything else to report about the Pokemon Minicon? That was really about it.
No.
Anything else going on, Austin? What else has been happening?
God, I feel like a lot's been happening, but it's been so long since we recorded.
I know.
Nothing.
Nothing interesting?
Nothing of interest.
We did our first foray into Twitch.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
By the time this comes out, it will be up on our Twitch stream channel.
Well, no, it won't. It'll be gone.
Oh.
It only stays up for 7 days.
Okay.
I'm going to try and get it on our Patreon because I saved the MP4s. Patreon's giving me resistance, but we're going to see what happens.
Okay.
So if I do get it on there, it'll be on the $3 tier. Stay tuned.
Yeah, so look forward to that. We decided to try our hand at streaming a game on Twitch, and Austin was super diligent and awesome. He got the whole thing set up, and we decided that our first test run was going to be Pokemon Channel. So if you're at all interested in watching how that misadventure went, please check out our Patreon. It was really fun. I had never played Pokemon Channel before. I learned a lot about it.
That's a preview for a future podcast episode, by the way.
Anyway, that is it, I think, for the big news.
So do you want to transition with some of Pokemon Megastar's favorite Elite Four battle music real quick?
I think so. Who doesn't love a good Elite Four battle theme? This week, the two episodes, we are going to be discussing A Poached Ego and Trees a Crowd.
I'm doing the 30 seconds
for A Poached Ego. Okay. Correct. Okay, Austin, are you ready?
Yeah.
Well, you better become ready in 3, 2, 1, go.
It's a Jesse and James episode as they find a cage full of Ekans and then a cage full of coughing. Oh my God, there's a Pokemon hunter named Rico, and he's stealing all the Ekans and Koffing until Arbok and Weezing bravely take off their new little friends into the wilds of Hoenn as Jesse, James, and Meowth attack a Tyranitar and get their asses handed to them, and then Arbok and Weezing are gone forever, but there's a Cacnea now, and it hugs James and it hurts him.
Time. Okay, so I'm really glad, actually, that I get to give you the lowdown on this episode because I completely forgot that this was the episode.
Do you remember this at all?
I do somewhat remember this, but okay. When I first started out, I was like, oh, just another run-of-the-mill episode, but surprise, it wasn't. I was sad. I was bummed out after this. I wasn't expecting this so soon, actually.
I feel like it took forever to get here.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's jump right in. I completely empathize with May right off the bat. May is absolutely not about this intrepid explorer lifestyle, you know, schlepping around the woods.
I was the opposite. I was like, of course I made May the whiny girl.
Yes.
I thought it was a bit misogynistic.
Okay, yes, I suppose you could look at it that way. But also, like, I completely understand not wanting to just wander around the woods all the time.
But Max is doing a perfectly fine job and he has shorter legs.
I guess. Now that you're making me think about it, I'm like, okay, why did they have to make May the one to complain? Max could have been the one to complain.
Or both of them.
Both of them together could complain. But no, I suppose it does have to be the whiny girl because, you know, girls don't like the outside. I can understand why she wouldn't want to just blindly follow along. At this point in time, I guess nobody's really leading the group. Ash is just kind of along for the ride. Brock is like, whatever, I'm not doing this whole map thing again. Max has the Pokey Nav, which they call Pokey Navi.
I clock that.
Pokey Navi. Do you like Pokey Navi better? I kind of like Pokey Navi better.
It reminds me of those Mega Man games, the Net Navis.
Really? I never played Mega Man, so.
Mega Man Battle Network, which I always kind of wanted, but you know, I was a kid, I had a budget strategically for which video games I requested, so I never tried them out. But they did have, I believe it was a 4Kids dub of a Mega Man Battle Network anime on Kids WB. So I watched that. Did you watch that?
No, I have no idea what that is.
Oh, I swear to God, this was a thing. Was it 4Kids? I could be misremembering.
I'll have to take your word for it. I really can't contribute at all to that because I have zero idea.
Okay, I just know that Mega Man / Rock Band and his brethren were called Net Navis.
Net Navis.
Oh, there's also Navi from Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, apparently the dub was called of the anime was called Mega Man NT Warrior.
Okay.
And as far as I can tell, 4Kids was uninvolved.
Hmm.
Weird.
Well, was that a short-lived thing?
I don't think it went on forever, no.
Oh, okay. So, May is like, please, I need to take a break. Can we please stop somewhere? Max, thankfully, finds a Pokemon Center that's close by, and Brock is thrilled by this. He's absolutely thrilled. He starts grabbing May's arm, physically yanking her forward, and she's like, please stop, you're hurting me. So she pulls her arm out of his grasp and backs into a tree, and they see something really strange sticking out of this tree. It's a piece of netting stuck to like a sharp point.
How odd.
There's also, as we look around the forest clearing, suddenly they spot evidence of a struggle. The trees are all ripped up. There's all sorts of disturbances all around. And they're like, huh, that's weird. I wonder what should have happened here.
Those Ekans were fighting hard.
I suppose so. We don't know exactly what the cause of this was. But they're like, whatever, that's weird. Let's go to the Pokemon Center. So they do. And continuing the theme of May having to be the one to explain to a new audience like what all this new stuff is, she has apparently never seen a Nurse Joy before, which I find hard to believe. But maybe. I mean, I guess there's not really a... There wouldn't be a Nurse Joy in the town she's in, so...
I have questions about their backstory.
Yeah?
Norman's the new gym leader of Petalburg. And in the game, you move to Hoenn. Does that mean that May and Max have recently moved to Hoenn? Have they lived in Petalburg this whole time and Norman just wasn't the gym leader? Was he perhaps a gym trainer? I don't know.
That is an excellent point. So where does she come from that she's never seen a Nurse Joy before?
The back of a moving truck? I don't know.
Who knows? Apparently, she's been very sheltered her entire life and has never seen a Nurse Joy. So she is absolutely flabbergasted that there could be more than one of them. Because she's like, aren't you the one from Olddale Town? And this Joy is like, no, you silly. That's my older sister. And Max produces a book from somewhere that has a picture of all of the Joys.
What is this book that Max is carrying?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know where it came from. We've never seen it before, and I'm not sure if we'll ever see it again.
I choose to believe it's like the Spring of Water Pokemon or whatever it was that Brock and Misty were carrying on their persons. Like, everyone just has a copy of that.
The book that the Joys wrote?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Throwback. I know. I was like, what? I didn't even remember that. Could be. I guess this is common knowledge to literally everyone but May. Brock is very thrilled to see Nurse Joy, as he is, but he is interrupted by another one of his true loves. Officer Jenny is here. This is really exciting, and she seems somewhat competent. She's like...
Somewhat.
I'm proud of her this episode, actually. She's like, hey, has any injured Pokemon been brought into the Pokemon Center recently? We are having a problem. She lets them know that there's a Pokemon poacher in this area, Rico, the infamous Rico. He's been spotted nearby.
Not Rico.
Rico Suave. Uncle Rico.
I am so sorry. I'm reading the plot summary for Mega Man Battle Network, and this is some crazy shit. I
got to put my phone down. Still on that?
Yeah.
Oh my god. That was like 5 minutes ago. Okay, so Uncle Rico is around. Fun fact. Oh my god, fun fact. Uncle Rico is played by Jonathan Greese, and you know who that is?
White Lotus fans will know.
White Lotus fans will know. Oh my god. Greg Gary. Oh my gosh. We didn't talk about White Lotus. I was sparing you guys at the beginning.
We'll wait for the finale.
Okay. Anyway, it still blows my mind that that was him. I'm like, how can you be the same person? That's crazy. Oh my god,
actors have multiple roles.
I know. Can you believe it? Anyway, so Uncle Rico is here and he is up to no good. He's stealing Pokemon and we have to stop him.
Specifically, Officer Jenny and her brood of children have to go and investigate this because
yes.
The twerps are just assumed to now be part of the investigation. They can't just live their lives. They got to be in on this.
You know, it's doubly fun because this Jenny doesn't really know about Ash or any of his exploits. So the fact that she's just sort of recruiting them, these random kids.
This is the Jenny way. This is what they always do. It's like
part
of the training manual. This is why I can't believe you're impressed by this Jenny. She's up to the same shit all the other Jennies are up to.
Only insofar as, like, she knows what's going on. Like, she's not...
Oh, fair enough. She's not showing up at the last second.
Right. They're not already, like, embroiled in a battle with the poacher and dealing with the problem. And she rolls up at the end like, oh my god, what happened here? Thanks for catching the bad guy. Okay, bye.
I would argue that's better than her deputizing random children in her vicinity.
Okay, that's a fair point to make. Anyway, she has recruited these children... And we are now on our way to find this criminal.
This dangerous poacher. All right, children, come along.
Yes, danger. Will Robinson, danger.
He probably has guns. Let's go. Let's go into battle.
He does have a gun, actually. It's gun looking later, but anyway. Team Rocket is scheming in the bushes like they do. Meowth is planning on the latest way that they can spring a trap on the twerps. And he's sick and tired of the pitfall trap. He is over that. He needs fresh new ideas. So he is pacing around to try and think of something with his genius brain that he has. But unfortunately, he's so caught up in his planning that he does not see the cliff that is nearby. And so he slips and falls down the side of the hill. He ends up landing right in front of a poorly camouflaged cage. And he pulls this blanket off, this camo green blanket, and discovers it's a cage full of Ekans.
Ekans.
Yeah, just like that. Say it again a couple times.
Ekans. Ekans.
That's a perfectly spot on impression.
Chabuk!
Ekans is here and they are looking so sad. I really felt for them. They're all beat up, scratched, tired looking. It's so sad. Jesse and James make their way down the slope. But they don't trip and fall like Meowth did. They ride Arbok and Weezing down the hill, and it's so great. James hanging off the back of Weezing made my day.
Arbok and Weezing are so great and so loyal, and I'm so used to having them around. I hope they don't leave anytime soon.
I know. Could you imagine if that happened? I'm not sure what I would do. So Jesse and James see this horrendous display, and they are just mortified by what they are witnessing. Arbok and Weezing are heartbroken. They have to spring into action. They must do something. They cannot let these poor defenseless Ekans and coughing suffer. Jesse instructs Arbok to try to break the cage open with acid, but it does not work. I guess these are acid-resistant bars, which it makes sense if they're catching poison types.
Yep. That makes sense.
Well, before Weezing can step in and try his hand at a sludge attack, it's attacked by a Pharaoh that comes out of nowhere, and they, at this moment, come face to face with the dreaded poacher Rico, Uncle Rico.
I think he's Butch's Uncle Rico.
Do you think?
Can you see it?
Wait, does Butch have green hair? Why can I not suddenly remember his hair?
He has blue hair.
Do you think they look the same? I need a side by side.
Okay, they have the same middle part going on. Okay, here's Rico.
Okay. Oh my god, he does look like Butch. How did I never notice this before?
I mean, he doesn't look exactly like Butch.
He's got the same terrible hair.
It's not the same, because look, Butch's is much more severe.
Okay. But it's pretty similar.
I think it's Butch's Uncle Rico.
All right, so Butch's Uncle Rico is here, and he demands their Pokemon in exchange for their safety. He's like, if you give me your Arbok and Weezing, I'll let you live. Jesse and James are like, no deal. And so he's like, okay, well, you asked for it then. Arbok and Weezing do try their best, but Rico cheats in the middle of this battle and recalls Fearow and calls out a Pupitar, which blasts them off again. I wasn't expecting this guy to have a Pupitar of all things, but...
I think Pupitar's a little rarely seen, so it's nice to see it.
Yeah, we don't really see it a ton. It's more Tyranitar and Larvitar.
I like how it says Pupitar.
Just like a man. Pupitar.
Pupitar.
Back at the scene of the crime, the twerps and Officer Jenny have discovered some tire tracks that they had not previously seen, even though they've been standing there for a while.
Specifically, Max sees them. Jenny did not see them.
You know what? That's a good thing for you to call out. We can't give all the credit to Jenny. She's not a good detective. This is not Detective Jenny, by the way.
No.
This is just some rando. Max is the one who says, oh my god, there's some very suspicious tire tracks leading away from the scene. Maybe we should follow them. So they give chase to follow wherever this might go. Team Rocket is being harassed by a swarm of giant Beedrill, which is absolutely terrifying. Thankfully, they are saved by a random wild Cacnea. New Pokemon alert. I like Cacnea. I don't think about it often, but it is really cool.
Well, get ready to think about it quite a bit.
So this Cacnea seems to take an immediate interest to them. James gives it a packet of cookies, and they're like, hey, thanks for your help. You're really awesome. We gotta go now. Bye. And they leave Cacnea standing there looking very intrigued. So we come across Rico again. We have run back into him. Jesse and James decide to distract him while Meowth picks the lock on the cage, and Koffing and Atkins are watching with horror and amazement as Meowth is shocked by, I don't know, several hundred volts of electricity, seemingly unfazed by this. Rico is also like, what the hell? How are you living? How is this happening? And Meowth is like, haha, you fool. This is nothing compared to Pikachu's Thunderbolt. I thought this was cute. There's an interesting moment because Rico has thrown a man baby tantrum, calls out Pupitar once again, and immediately evolves it into Tyranitar. Oh shit. Jesse is like, you know what? This is child's play. Wobbuffet, get in there. Do something. Wobbuffet takes a hyper beam directly to the face and unfortunately is not able to counter it in time.
That's how you know shit's serious.
It is serious. I just had to stop and pause here for 1 second because have we ever seen Wobbuffet actually get knocked out?
Surely. Right?
Really? With the swirly eyes?
Maybe. I don't know.
I can't recall any other time Wobbuffet's actually been knocked out. And I'm not talking about like getting blasted off or anything. I don't recall that, but maybe I'm not thinking of it.
You know what? I'm not a Wobbuffetologist. I couldn't tell you.
Anybody out there listening that has another instance of Wobbuffet prior to this getting KO'd, and by that I mean the swirly eyes.
I googled Wobbuffet swirly eyes to no avail.
Okay, I'm not really surprised that didn't return any results. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting, and I don't remember ever seeing that, so potentially it might be the first time. Team Rocket, sensing that they have been backed into a corner with no alternatives, tearfully implore Arbok and Weezing to make their escape without them. They're like, these Ekans and these Weezing need leaders. They need you to lead them to safety. Go on, get out of here. Don't look back.
Get out of here, you dumb animal.
So Meowth, Jesse, and James bravely use their fury swipes on Tyranitar to act as human shields, but they are completely decimated by this creature and are ultimately defeated. And it's so sad. They are bruised and beaten and battered over and over again, and Arbok and Weezing are watching from the woods as this is happening, and they have no choice but to continue on and not look back as they lead their charges to safety. and I was heartbroken because I knew this was going to happen, but I couldn't remember exactly how it happened. I can't believe this is how we say goodbye.
Yeah, I was surprised by how emotionally affected I was, actually. Because, like, at first it was like, oh, okay, bye. And it just kept going, and they kept on looking back in horror and crying and stuff. And then I think it was Weezing's little face crying that really got me.
I know, God. James, at one point prior to this, called Weezing his brother, and I don't know, it just broke my heart to know that that was how they have to say goodbye to them.
Never to be seen again.
We do not see them ever again. They don't actually get to have a heartfelt goodbye. I mean, the goodbye is, go on, get out of here, save yourself. We don't meet up with them later to say, like, oh my God, you guys are safe. Okay, have a good life. That's it. This is it.
I mean, they could have found them if they really wanted to.
I know. That's the thing that kind of, like, bugged me a little bit. I'm like, you guys couldn't have, like, found them and had a proper goodbye after the whole poacher thing was resolved. But sadly, no. So, yeah, this is our big farewell moment to two Pokemon that have been mainstays, more or less, for this entire time.
Yes, but I wouldn't call... I'm sorry, they're iconic, but they don't exactly have the most entertainment value.
I mean...
You know what I mean? They're such background dressing.
Yes, but, like, I guess it's one of those moments where it's like, sure, they didn't do a whole lot up to this point, but they've always been there, and so it's hard to say goodbye and have such a major overhaul.
Right. Arbok always had a bit more going for it.
Yeah.
It always had a bit more of a silliness and a kind of a sass to it. Weezing, not so much, but...
Well, no, but, I mean, I think you're going to miss Weezing's smokescreen. I feel like that was a fixture a lot of the time.
Well, prepare yourself for some more smokescreens, actually.
Okay, okay.
That's not going to go away.
I don't know. It's just one of those moments where it's like, okay, we're totally changing the game. We've said goodbye to old characters. We're not going to see them again. And now it's just a complete shift. It's totally different.
I'm excited for what's to come. I'll just say that.
Yeah, I'm not excited. I'm just saying it's one of those things where it's like, oh, end of an era, you know, like saying goodbye to Misty or something.
Yeah, also not too upset about that. Embrace change.
Sure. There's something to be said about change and progress, which we do get a little bit of that sentiment from Jesse, I believe, in the next episode. But I'm just a sentimental type, and I'm like, oh my God, end of an era, goodbye, Arbok and Weezing. Back at the Twerps group with Jenny, they have crossed paths with Uncle Rico, and in true Twerp fashion, they easily dispatch him. They did not have half as much trouble with him as Jesse and James did.
Specifically, Jenny does it all.
Jenny actually does do something.
Yeah, the dwarves don't do anything because they're out classed, but Jenny's like, I'm on it.
Before Uncle Rico can call out Tyranitar, don't even try it, dude. Growlithe, grab this guy's Pokeballs. And he does.
Growlithe grabs Uncle Rico by the balls.
Yep.
And he's out.
He's out. And we don't really see, like, kind of the resolution to this. He's, I guess, captured and carted off to jail because we don't really care about that anymore. It's back to Team Rocket because we have an important situation happening, and that is Cacnea has returned. If you had forgotten about Cacnea, which I'm not sure how you could forget, it's here and it is very interested in going with them. James is like, hey, you want to come along with us? That's really great. Here's some more cookies. And it jumps on him, and I guess he doesn't realize that it's covered in spikes, so he grabs it. And now we have Victory Bell 2.0.
Cacnea superior than Victory Bell, as far as I'm concerned.
Honestly, same.
Yeah.
I mean,
Cacnea's cute.
It is really cute. And it's not, I don't feel like it's malicious in any way. It's just, it doesn't know its own strength, I suppose. So yeah, we have a new Team Rocket team member. Goodbye, Arbok and Weezing. So now James has his Hoenn Pokemon. I wonder who Jesse will get eventually.
I don't know. Don't pay close attention to the opening credits to not find out.
Don't pay attention at all. Skip right past that if you don't want to be spoiled.
MVP, LVP, and quote. Flip, flip. You're going first.
Okay. My MVP is going to be Meowth, because I don't know if I've ever said this before, but I think Meowth was kind of a badass in this episode. He really took the lead on trying to help the defenseless coughing and Atkins in the cage. And the fact that he was standing there taking all those volts of electricity and not even being fazed by it, I was like, damn, okay, Meowth. My LVP is going to be, I guess, the obvious...
John Greer's.
Uncle Rico, because he was kind of a dick in Napoleon Dynamite 2. Can't ever trust a guy named Rico, I suppose.
Apologies to any Ricos out there.
He was a jerk, and without him and his interference, we wouldn't necessarily have gotten rid of Arbok and Weezing, so I can't forgive him for that. Also, I'm kind of curious who this client he was working for was.
We'll never know, because it's not important.
Do you have any guesses? Do you think it might be like somebody, like a Team Aqua, Team Magma, somebody? Like,
Who wants poison types? They specifically wanted poison types.
Any poison type people in Hoenn that we're not thinking of?
No.
Okay. I guess we'll never know.
It's a mystery for the ages.
It is a mystery for the
ages. What's in the box? It doesn't matter. It's a plot device.
Now for a quote. I guess the one at the beginning when Brock is talking to Nurse Joy. After May is flabbergasted that there's more than one, Brock says to her, "Oh, please, you're so naive. Nurse Joy's uniqueness is easily seen. It's completely obvious. I can tell the difference. Your bangs are a millimeter longer."
Is that the end of your quote?
Yep.
Okay, good, because I had about 7 quotes and you didn't use any of them.
Well, go ahead and use them, because I guess I didn't pay half as much attention.
My first quote will be the narrator saying, "But for now, our heroes are marching happily along. Well, most of them." And May says, "I'm not happy." I'm going to say when Jesse and James confront Rico and James says, "You bad poacher man, you." Jesse says, "I know just how to handle men like this." And James says, "Tell me, please."
Oh, I forgot about that. Oh, I do have another Jesse one.
Go for it.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. I did not see this in my notes. Okay, so after they get harassed by the bee drill, and Jesse is complaining about this whole situation, and Rico, she says, "I really hate men like that. I'm gonna tear him and his overblown ego limb from limb." I'm like, yeah, girl.
You have weird quotes. Okay, so my next one, May says, "Then it must have been some nice people who saved the Pokemon, right?" And Ash says, "Yeah, with all the bad people like Team Rocket around, it's nice to know there are good people out there too."
If only he knew what horrible shit they just had to go through.
All right, now I'm tired of quotes now. It's MVP time. My MVP is going to be, Arbok and Weezing. They got to start a new life with these charges. And yeah, I think they're probably going to be much happier without Team Rocket, to be honest.
Aw, but they really love Jesse and James. And Jesse and James really care about them.
True. But I don't love them, so I'm glad to see them go. So, LVP. God,
how cruel and ruthless.
My LVP is going to be Officer Jenny for being up to her usual shenanigans. It was nice to see she shot first versus Greedo. But other than that, it's, you know, her usual shenanigans. So, LVP to Jesse, or Jenny.
I'm surprised even after her somewhat competent behavior at the end where she's like actually doing something and apprehending the criminal, she still can't catch a break and still gets LVP.
No, I don't want somewhat competent police officers. I want competent police officers. How about that? All right, next one. Trees a crowd.
All right. Well, this is an interesting one, isn't it?
Get ready. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so we are lost. The Pokénavi is broken. And they don't know what to do. Before they can figure out where they're supposed to go next, Ash spots a group of Treecko. Oh my god, Treecko's here. He wants one, so he chases one to this crazy tree in the middle of the forest, and you know it's like the tree of the plot because it's bigger than all the others. Treecko is like, "No, I don't want to leave the tree. I have to save it." He fights with his elders and Treecko friends.
Time.
And Ash eventually catches
time,
him.
Time. Oh my time, god. Time. I didn't like this episode. I love Treecko. I adore Treecko. It's one of my favorite Ash Pokemon of all time, and I think just Treecko in general is really cool, but I don't like this episode. It wasn't terrible by any means. I'm tired of these fucking woods at this point, to be honest.
Okay, so just a thought experiment real quick. You could do it differently, what kind of episode would you have preferred the Treecko introduction be?
I don't know, because I'm not a writer being paid for the show, so I'm not going to do that. So, okay. Today we are lost in the woods. Hooray! Because, wouldn't you know it, the PokéNavi, we're still calling it the wrong name, is not working because we're out of range of the GPS. Hooray! Thank God we don't have any paper maps with us. Not that they would do any good.
Maybe this is kind of one of the, like, perils of technology. You know how, like, the other week when I was complaining about my internet being down and whatever they did to the network knocked out all of my internet and I had to re-log into everything, including, and you can laugh at me all you want, I know how ridiculous it is, my light bulbs. I got logged out of my light bulbs. You might be wondering, why the fuck do you need to have Wi-Fi connected light bulbs? It's a good question, and honestly, I feel like maybe this is a critique of too much technology being a bad thing. Because if they had a paper map, we still would be lost because Brock couldn't read a paper map, but they obviously can't use this PokéNavi thing, so what good is it? It's just a big old paperweight at this point.
It's only episode 7, and this thing already is not working. So, precedent is set.
How far into the woods are they?
We know they can go farther because they're not at the horrible village from Team Rocket that we went to.
Where are we exactly? I forgot to look at the little map thing at the beginning, the title card. Like, they're in the Petalburg Woods. What's on the other side? Is it Rustboro? Okay, yep. So we're somewhere.
We are having some sibling rivalry, yelling about the PokéNavi, and Ash does not want to be part of this, so he runs off by himself because he sees some Treecos jumping around in the trees, and he's wanted a Treecko ever since he first saw one and thought it was a water type.
Oh, yeah.
He's not going to go without a starter. Oh, my God. No. Ash needs a starter, goddammit. So he follows the Treeccos for a while. This is after, actually, he throws the Pokeball at a Treecko without battling it first, and May correctly is all over his ass for not doing what he told her to do a while back. Get his ass, May. Get him.
I know. I'm so proud of May in this moment for calling his ass out about that. I'm like, Ash, this is rookie shit. What are you doing?
Ash tends to be stupid. We know that. So, speaking of Ash being stupid, he runs off a cliff. A pretty large cliff, actually. Because he's kind of like in a crater area. But he's at the bottom of this crater area, and there is a giant tree that is like impossibly large and is dead. It has no leaves on it. All the branches have fallen off.
I was thinking it was like the tree from Avatar, you know, like the giant tree in the middle of the woods, because that's like the central location and that's where the plot happens, because...
You're going to have to pretend I don't remember Avatar, because I don't.
Oh, I guess I'm the only one here that's watched it a dozen times.
Yeah, I think you might be the only one on the Earth who's watched it a dozen times, actually.
Maybe so.
Maybe so. Remember when you hated Avatar 2, The Way of Water?
I do hate the second Avatar. It's not the first, and... Honestly, I was not impressed. Maybe the third one will be better. We'll see. Come on, James Cameron. Do some shit. You've had 20 years.
Do you want me to take pictures when I'm at Pandora and the Animal Kingdom?
I'm so mad. Oh my God, I want to go. I'm jealous. Anyway, yes, take pictures. I want to see.
Will do. I hear the bathrooms are really cool, actually.
The bathrooms?
That's what I've been told.
What makes the bathrooms cool?
I don't know. You piss into a Na'vi? I don't know.
Oh my God.
Okay, so Treecko's here. There's a soul Treecko that lives on this giant dead tree. It throws a stick at Pikachu and Ash to be like, fuck off, this is my tree. Pikachu gets his ass kicked by the Treecko, much to Team Rocket. By the way, Team Rocket's here. Much to Team Rocket's amusement. And wouldn't you know it, they have a boss fantasy.
Finally.
Meowth is having a boss fantasy where Giovanni is sleeping naked in a robe. In his bed. So Treecko can gently wake him up. And then Giovanni actually puts on some underwear. He puts on some trunks for his massage, his daily Treecko massage. I am surprised he was wearing anything at all instead of just being naked under a towel.
Just to clarify, Meowth fantasizes that Treecko rubs his phallic-y looking tail all over Giovanni's face. That's how he wakes up. And then for some godforsaken reason, Treecko is just like, okay, sir, prepare yourself for your daily massage.
Godforsaken reason being Meowth is jerking off thinking about this.
Could you imagine a lizard giving you a massage?
Anyway, Boss Fantasy, were you excited? Were you thrilled? Were you so excited?
I wish it was longer. I feel like we could have gotten more out of that.
Like, all the Treecos come in, they all start massaging the boss.
I mean, it could have been, like, a Treeco pile, and, like, Giovanni could have drowned in a sea of Treecos, but he didn't. It was just the one. We could have seen more butt cheeks. I'm just saying, we could have seen more butt cheeks.
I mean, we could have seen more butt cheeks. I don't think that would happen on this show, but maybe in our Netflix adaptation of the show that we are currently writing.
That we should have in as a reality because the world deserves it.
I say that as if I'm not consciously objecting to Netflix right now. I currently don't have a Netflix subscription. Fuck you, Netflix.
Me neither. Okay, real quick, I have to know. If we had a live action Pokemon whatever show, who would play the role of Giovanni?
John Greers.
Oh my god.
I'm kidding. He's too old.
I mean, Giovanni's kind of old, isn't he?
No, I don't think he's that old.
Walton Goggins.
Maybe.
Oh my god, I love Walton Goggins. That's my vote. And also, I got Walton Goggins on the brain because, of course, White Lotus and Righteous Gemstones. And I heard he was good in Sons of Anarchy, which I have to watch that too.
I'm going to Google Giovanni fan cast.
Yeah, what do people online say? Do we have
People are also on the same wavelength we are.
Oh?
Jason Isaacs.
Oh my god. I could see that.
Mads Mikkelsen? I don't see that.
No, sorry. I love Mads Mikkelsen, but no.
Hugo Weaving?
I love Hugo Weaving, but I just can't picture him as, like, Giovanni.
Vincent D'Onofrio? Some of these are bullshit. Hugh Jackman? What the fuck?
No! Hard pass.
No, absolutely not.
Nuh-uh.
Anyway.
Huh.
Back to reality, which is a cartoon.
Dang.
All of the other Treecos have arrived at the old tree, and the Elder Treeco is here. Wouldn't you know
the
it?
Elder Swear.
The Elder Treeco, which must be a 90-year-old Treeco that's never evolved, is here to tell the young, brash Treeco that has a toothpick in its mouth that they need to give up on this tree. There's nothing more we can do for this tree. The tree is dead. That's the cycle of life. And the young Treeco with a toothpick says, no. I grew up with this tree. I was born in this tree. I was conceived in this tree. And all of you were too. We need to keep this tree alive. I've never known the world outside of this tree. And this tree is my world. We're like brothers, only closer. And Meowth and James are very taken with this speech Treecko gives. Of course, Ash is standing there, not understanding a word of it. But Jesse is not amused by this. Jesse thinks that change is the way life is, and you need to be able to get over your sentimentality and accept that things die, and I am Team Jesse.
I know. This was very poignant. I love these, like, little kernels of realness that we get when we watch this particular anime, because she's so right for this. You can't have growth without, you know,
a dead
loss
tree.
And you can't have life without death, and it's very metaphoric.
So the group of Treecko leaves. That leaves. What would you call a group of Treecko? I'm going to say a branch.
A branch of Treecko?
What do you call a group of lizards? A geckos?
A gaggle? No, I don't. I have
a gaggle. A clutter!
A clutter?
Is that, or a lounge.
I think it's a gaggle of geese is what it is.
Okay. This says there is no name for a group of geckos because geckos do not form groups in the wild. Okay.
Well, that's very uninspired. A bushel?
A bushel of Treeccos.
Sure.
Okay, so the bushel of Treeccos, including Elder Treecko, leave. And Ash and Pikachu just hang out for like hours. And they watch as Treecko Prime goes and gets some water, and he puts down some mulch all around the tree. He's trying to like save it. And Ash's two brain cells eventually figure out, oh my god, this Treecko is trying to save the tree.
Can we call, like, Ash's Treecko, like, Cowboy Treecko? Because he's got the little, like, wheat thing.
Cowboy Curtis?
Cowboy Curtis, yeah.
Curtis the Treecko.
Oh my god, can that be his, like, nickname?
Possibly. So Curtis is going to keep the tree alive, and Ash decides he's going to help Curtis. So he goes up, and he joins Curtis's little procession, helps him water the tree, etc., etc. Somewhere in this, he sends out Talo to be like, it's been 9 hours since I've seen Brock and them. Better go send Talo to go, you know, let them know where I am. Meanwhile, Brock could not give less of a shit about what Ash is doing. He knows Ash is prone to doing his own one-episode adventures, so he'll be fine.
Brock, you know what the vibe I got was? May and Max are like, so it's been like a long time. Do you think Ash is like dead somewhere in like a ditch? And Brock is like, nah, Ash is fine. But I just think he just didn't want to do any work to like find him. I think Brock is like over it. He's like, no, I spent years carting around behind Ash.
Ever since that time, Ash abandoned them in Venice.
Yep. Brock that could not care.
That was the defining moment when Brock was like, if you're going to do your own shit, go do your own shit. I'm not going to help you.
I mean, there's only so much you can do for people who you only get what you give, right? So it's like, okay, if Ash doesn't care about Brock, why should Brock care about Ash, right?
So hours pass of us trying to save the tree. Team Rocket, meanwhile, have gotten an express order from Popular Pokemon Magazine of some Christmas lights that they put all over their balloon. Turns out these are magical Christmas lights. Because first, they have a robot that knocks over all the trees, knocks all the Treecos out of their branches, and scoops them all up. And so when they try to fly away, Curtis and Ash and Pikachu try to stop them. But wouldn't you know it, the Christmas lights magically repel electricity. So they're fine. Cowboy Curtis Treecko scales a tree, jumps into the balloon, beats the shit out of Team Rocket, lets his fellow Treecko brethren go, and they all escape. And then James sends out Cacnea, and Ash sees this Cacnea and is like, oh, a new Pokemon? They must have stolen it.
How is that his first thought? He's so rude for this.
First of all, Ash, when have you ever known Team Rocket to ever successfully steal anything in your life?
He should know better.
You know they always go to a log cabin and decompress first. So, Treecko is able to goad Cacnea in. What does he do? Does he stick out his tongue and slaps his ass?
Yes, he does.
Okay, Curtis slaps his ass a bunch. And Cacnea is enraged by this, so he sends out a pin missile into the balloon, and it pops, and Team Rocket's blasting off again.
To be fair, this is Cacnea's first encounter with the twerps.
True.
And I'm assuming that he's never ridden in a hot air balloon before.
That seems like a safe assumption.
Yeah, so I'm going to just give Cacnea the benefit of the doubt on this one, and I'm not going to blame him too much
okay. for this. It's a learning curve.
Yeah.
So at this point, all the Treeccos are saved. Hooray. The Elder Treecko is still trying to convince Curtis to give it up. But they seem to reach some sort of understanding. I guess maybe Curtis isn't exiled from their group anymore. I'm not entirely sure. From their bushel.
I'm kind of surprised he didn't get the permanent boot after he friggin' slapped the Elder Treecko and pushed him to the ground. I mean,
I forgot he assaulted the Elder!
He did. He physically got violent. And that poor Treecko could have broken a hip and that could have been death. Because as we know, if you are old and you break a hip, that's like the beginning of the end.
Especially when you're a Treecko.
Especially when you're a Treecko.
A Treecko can't climb a tree if it has a broken hip.
Nope. I was shocked by this. I'm like, okay, this Treecko is not above physical violence.
I can't believe you didn't bring this up before. I completely forgot Curtis was like a domestic abuser.
Yeah, he is. He's a...
LVP.
Elder abuser.
I'm sorry if you don't hear what you want to hear. You can't be assaulting the village elder.
I know. Sometimes life doesn't work out the way you want.
Yeah, it's not like he was being prejudiced in some way or like using his power in an unethical way. He was telling you the tree was going to die no matter what you did.
I know. He was just trying to give good guidance and be like, look, son, you can't waste your life away on something that with no outcome. Like, it's futile. There's no good outcome and solution here. Like, you just have to let go and move on. It's not healthy to sit here and obsess. And all, he responds with physical violence and pushes him down.
You like how I love Treecko so much that I completely blocked my memory of that happening in the episode as we talked about it? Because I like him so much. What a horrible bias I have.
I know. No. How could you overlook physical assault and terrible treatment because you are biased?
There's no excuse for me overlooking that. There's just not.
Mm-mm. Austin gets LVP for allowing this behavior because of his own biases.
I'm the worst. I'm like Utena when people slap an Anthe everywhere. Anyway, all that aside, Treecko is forgiven for his flagrant elder abuse. And in that moment, the sun begins to rise as the tree magically splits in half in a split second.
What?
Yeah, the tree splits right down the middle. just like my tree outside that got weighed down by snow and split down the middle and hit someone's car.
Life imitates art and all that.
Mm-hmm. So all the Treecos are like, oh no. So they try and shove the tree together through sheer strength. That's not going to happen. But don't worry. Ash has got a solution. Ash calls out, I have a rope.
Thanks, Ash. That'll do something.
Sadly, Ash's genius plan to tie a rope around the dead tree that just split in half does not come to fruition, because instead, the tree beams a memory of its life flashing before its eyes into the brains of the assorted Treecos and Ash and Pikachu.
Can I just, like, pause and, like, have, like, can I stop you right there? Is that
yes, please do.
Is that what happened here? Because I was so confused. I thought this was something that was happening in real time. This was all a tree dying last visual beam into the brains of everybody around it.
That's what I thought it was.
Not to skip ahead a little bit too much.
Skip ahead.
This tree cracks down the middle. We see this whole montage of the tree as a sapling going through its entire life cycle or whatever. I stupidly, I guess, thought that this was all happening in the span of like 20 seconds. And I'm like, how the fuck does a tree grow from sapling to full-sized in this amount of time? But it makes way more sense your way to know that was, like, the dying memory of, like, a tree.
There's, like, a mysticism. It's very Avatar, actually.
That is true.
Their minds are linked.
So they use their, like, hair spinal cord thing and wrap it around the tree and get the memories of the guardian planet spirit zapped into their brain pans.
That's exactly what happened.
Okay.
And it wasn't just a metaphorical thing, because Ash says, look, Pikachu, it's a tree being born, or whatever. He sees it physically in front of him.
They all have the vision.
Yes.
Okay.
And once that very normal vision is completed, the tree falls with a thundering crash that you'd think people will be able to hear for miles and miles and miles. Because if a tree falls in a forest and it's that fucking big, someone will be around to hear it.
Absolutely.
You think everyone would be coming out. Like, Rico would be breaking out of prison. Nikolai the Knickerbocker would be there. And all those other random people.
Yeah, all the people of, like, Rustboro. All the people of Old Dale. Like, all these people would be like, oh my goodness.
All the Doc Brown and his villager people.
No, we determined that they live in a different astral plane.
Oh, perfect.
They're outside space and time, so.
Well, I don't know. I think when the tree had a vision that it was sharing, I think that was another astral plane moment.
That is, okay. All right, maybe so. Nobody could give a crap. They were just like, whatever. Another day, another tree falling over.
But the tree does give off one final acorn seed for the next generation of trees to live on. So that's nice. And I believe Curtis Treecko plants it. So Ash comforts Treecko, being like, it's like the cycle of life and all that. So Treecko smacks him in the face.
See? Physical abuse.
He's physical a physical abuse. Abuser. But Ash figures out that that was actually a challenge because Treecko wants to go with him. Because I guess Treecko saw the opening credits and knew that it had to join Ash's party. And also because, you know, it's lived its whole life in that tree and now it has to start a new life over. And here's Ash. So, okay, there we go. And they had the bonding moment when they put the dead leaves everywhere.
You know, surprisingly, this Treecko didn't have as much resistance to, like, going with Ash that I thought. Like, he had this conviction, right? He was like, no, I have to stay. I have to, you know, be the steward of this tree. And, you know, this means everything to me. And he's willing to, like, physically assault people to prove his point. And then, like, it splits into two and we don't see this moment of, like, devastation. He's just like, okay, whatever. I guess I'll go with you. I'm like, what happened to all your trauma?
It was the tree's psychic vision. It gave him the closure he needed.
The magical tree hallucination, sure.
So we have a Pikachu versus Treecko battle as the sun rises. Ash has pulled an all-nighter. And the three twerps come up right in that moment. Because I guess they heard the thundering kaboom. And Taylo was just lost somewhere.
Oh, no, Taylo. Did you not see Taylo?
Oh, Taylo was with them?
Was leading them back, yes.
Okay, great. Well, Taylo took a long fucking time, didn't he?
I think Taylo was also like, Ash will be fine. He stuck around for some stew and stuff like that. And then they got a little nap and they were like, okay, I guess now we can go see what Ash is up to.
Brock was like, don't go back, Taylo. Just stay with us for a while. We'll go in the morning. And Taylo was like,
yeah, I think like, so. Because Taylo knew exactly where they were. It's not like Ash left the tree area. I mean, so I think Taylo just took his sweet time.
Maybe the loud boom was what finally, like, woke him up and was like, oh, we got to go check on Ash. What's going on over there?
didn't they see the big explosion? Like, literally, there was, like, a big mushroom cloud. And I think that is what has spurred them into action.
Regardless, they don't comment on that. We just see Pikachu versus Trico. And wouldn't you know it, Trico jumps in midair at one point. Ash kind of directs him into doing so. And when Trico jumps in midair, it no longer is resistant to grass or electric type moves. Because grass types have to be touching the ground for that to take effect. Because they gotta disperse it into their roots, apparently.
Like, but literally, when has that ever been the case?
Since right now and never again. Because Curtis is caught, and now the episode's over.
One point I want to make on Ash's interaction with Trico after he catches it. Usually, when you have a new Pokemon who you're trying to entice to come with you, there's usually some kind of, like, bonding moment or there's some scenario in which, like, it's like, hey, you know, we're here to help you. We're friendly. Why don't you come along with us? Is that something you want? And then the Pokemon is like, yeah, sure, I agree to that. And then the trainer catches the Pokemon after confirming that desire to go. But in this case, I'm not really sure why Ash catches the Trico after battling it. He releases Trico out. Once he captures it, he's like, come out, Trico. Then he asks Trico if he wants to travel with them.
Ash was getting a Trico no matter what.
But the Pokeball brainwashing has already occurred. So,
well, Trico's the one who initiated this. He was the one who smacked him in the face and said, let's battle now.
Yeah, so what kind of redundant question is that? Like, it's completely unnecessary. Like, you don't ask the Pokemon after you've captured them and brainwashed them. Like, you don't... It doesn't matter anymore.
Do you hear the helicopter going above me at this moment? Okay, no. It's gone now. Anyway.
But I feel like I just heard a helicopter.
Huh. It's probably the same helicopter.
Maybe. Oh my god.
It's going your way.
It's coming to get me.
Anyway, Trico's here.
Yay!
Let's hope he can rehabilitate himself a little bit, because this episode kind of broke my Trico illusion I had going on of him being so cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't really remember. I mean, I remembered Trico being cool, and he's definitely one of Ash's powerhouse Pokemon, but I completely forgot about the elder abuse aspect of Trico, and so at this moment, I can't say that I'm really a big fan. I hope that he has some redeeming episodes and maybe win our hearts back over, but...
Don't forget, he's going to become an incel at some point.
Really?
Yeah, he becomes an incel, then he suffers from ED.
Oh, okay.
That really happens. Okay, flipped the coin.
Oh my god.
Okay, you're first.
Look forward to that character arc then. Holy shit. Okay.
I'm not so even joking.
My LVP is Trico because of that shit and all the other reasons we discussed, because he can't fucking keep his hands to himself. My MVP is going to be Meowth for giving us yet another boss fantasy.
You and Meowth today.
I know. I can't believe it. You know what? Honorary LVP to Giovanni for not staying around longer in his own boss fantasy.
And for putting on shorts.
Not
Come cool, on. Meowth.
Show us them cheeks. My quote is going to be the only one I have, which is when James, Jesse, and Meowth are watching this very moving story from Trico about how he's born in this tree. God damn it, he's going to die in this tree. James says, as he's crying, a lesser person would be moved to tears by that story. Jesse says, that's not heroic. Life's all about exchanging old things for new, especially when it comes to homes and boyfriends.
True. My quote is going to be also Team Rocket. When they first are spying on the Trico, Jesse says, ooh, we have a dispute here. I love watching other people's troubles.
I mean,
Jesse is killing it today. And that's why she gets my MVP.
She deserves it. She's such a queen.
Oh, man, Jesse. My LVP, gosh, you already took Trico, and that's really the only one.
Brock?
No, I'm going to give it to the PokéNav.
Oh, for being broken?
Yeah, I'm going to give it to the PokéNav. If I don't have anyone better and the PokéNav's not working, that's going to be my default from now on. How about that?
The PokéNavy?
Yeah, PokéNav is its Christian name.
Do we, just out of curiosity, do we continue to see the PokéNav, or is it one of those things that just kind of fades out of...
I think eventually it's going to fade out.
Okay.
The PokéGear is way better than the PokéNav.
Does the PokéNav even, like, talk?
No.
Okay. Never mind. It's not very cool, then.
No. It looks decent, at least. It looks bulky, though.
Yeah, it does. It looks kind of... It's not very ergonomical.
No.
All right. Well, any final thoughts on either one of those two episodes?
Trico, you better redeem yourself. I'm just saying.
Well, apparently he has some character arc we have to get through.
We got lots of hoeing to go.
Speaking of, what's on the menu for next week?
First, we have a Pokemon Chronicles episode called Showdown at the Oak Corral.
Okay.
Which is kind of confusing because we already had an episode called Showdown at the Poke Corral.
I know. How could you have two such similar Pokemon titles?
It's kind of like how we had two Out of the Drying Pan episodes, both titled What the Shell or some variant thereof.
Okay, you know what? We can't be hypocritical then. You know, you win some, you lose some, and sometimes you have a repeat.
The next episode after that is a regular episode called A Tail with a Twist. With tail spelled like a tail, like T-A-I-L.
Like an animal tail.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's exciting. I don't recall this Chronicles episode, so we will see what happens, as well as the other continuation of the regular Hoenn episodes. So
more Petalburg Woods. Hooray!
Are we still not out of the woods?
We're not out of the woods yet.
Okay.
Can that be your episode title?
Maybe so.
Maybe. We'll find out.
That'll be in our post-production discussion. All right, guys. Well, that was super fun. If you want to get in touch with us, send us an email. We'd love to hear from you. outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Or you can follow us over on Blue Sky. Austin posts fun stuff over there all the time. So go ahead, give us a follow at @outofthedryingpan. And we also have an Instagram. Please follow us over there too. Same handle, @outofthedryingpan. We'd love it if you'd check out our Patreon. We've got super cool bonus content over there. Notes, bonus episodes, pre-recordings, and potentially our Twitch streams. The Pokemon Channel Twitch stream and potentially others in the future. So look forward to that as well. And as always, we like to say once again, thank you guys so much for listening. And we will see you next week as the journey continues.